Blog Talk Radio.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is Monday, August the 22nd, 2001. Where is the time going? It is 12:34 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope everyone had a great and fabulous weekend. Please call someone, text someone, and let them know I am on the air. Tell them to tune in weekly every Monday at 12:30 with me at Blog Talk Radio. VictoryAgainstAllOdds.com. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds, a radio talk show for the family where we will talk about some of the struggles and the obstacles that families face as it relates to issues of child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. So let's talk. My email address is odds_against@yahoo.com. Please email me if you have questions. My chat room is open this afternoon. And if you need to have a question, you don't necessarily want to identify yourself, but you have a question, you may chat with me today, as well as the line will be open on today. Today, this is the day that the Lord has made, so we will rejoice and be glad in it. Today, we want to continue our foundation building, so we will be talking about sexual abuse today, and we will continue the discussion for a few weeks. Sexual abuse is a very hard topic, so I don't want to be insensitive to anybody that is listening and may need to call or chat, or again, you may email me. So let's get started. We're going to talk about and define what sexual abuse is. Okay. Sexual abuse is defined as any sort of non-consensual sexual contact. It could happen to me, it could happen to you, or, you know, anybody that you know. We can define what rape is. We're going to define rape. The rape is, from a legal standpoint, is defined as a person forcing another person without this person's consent and using violence or threatening violence to have intercourse or other forms of sexual activity. The same definition applies if the person is violated while they are in a vulnerable state, such as being asleep or unconscious or intoxicated or physically or mentally disabled. So any person or previous relationship between the parties is totally irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. One of the challenges about sexual violence or sexual abuse is the fact that it goes unreported. So one of the things we want to challenge today is for anyone listening under the sound of my voice and anyone that you know is to report. This is not a secret that is for you to keep. It needs to be told. It needs to be reported. It's difficult to accurately determine how many people are raped because the numbers are so unreported and presumed to be very high, especially as it relates to perpetrators as an acquaintance. Rape is often associated with strangers, but actually, in fact, research shows that most cases of victims and the assailant know each other. So a considerable number of rapes are presumed to occur within marriages. However, marital rape, of course, is still a subject that's very taboo and is most likely the least recognized type of sexual assault. I know it's hard, but we must talk about rape. We must talk about sexual assault so that we can be free and walk in our victory. We must overcome these obstacles. We must use our weapons to fight these battles so we can help the next person. So if there's anyone listening, please, please, if you want to chat, if you want to call in, we won't report names or anything of that sort, but we want to talk about this subject on today. It is so much to cover, so we're just going to take it in parts. And so this is going to be part one of sexual abuse. The majority of victims of sexual assault are women, and the perpetrators are almost always men. However, we do know that there are men who rape, who violate. We do know that there are men out there who do, who are victims, I should say. There are men who rape men or boys. There are women who violate children. So we're going to be talking about a broad range of this subject. We can talk about stranger rape. That is one category of rape. Stranger rape is when a woman is assaulted by a stranger outdoors or by a man who enters her home or, you know, or the like. We can talk about acquaintance rape. Acquaintance rape is the man and the woman, they know each other fairly well or only casually, often in connection with or a party or a date of that sort. That's what we would call an acquaintance rape. We can talk about gang rape. Gang rape is may occur as an attack or during a private party where gang rape may be planned or pre-planned to various degrees, but some of the planning always takes place. It may be a motive or revenge or examples to put independent women in their place, or it may occur in war as a calculated strategy. It may be part of an initiation. We can talk about marital rape. That's another category. That's when the husband refers to his marital right to have sex, threatens with violence or divorce, or he demands sex after being abused when she does not dare say no. He may also simply force himself on her despite her resistance or her protest. There's all types of hidden sexual assaults. There are two types, actually, of sexual hidden assault, and this is when the victim acknowledges to herself and perhaps also to others that she has been raped, but she refuses to press charges for various reasons, for different reasons. The other is the situation matches the legal definition of rape, but the victim for different reasons doesn't see it as such. So that would be if it was an assault or there was no penetration, but there were other things that may have happened. And so the victim may not necessarily think of it as them being violent or being raped. So those are some of the categories that we can talk about. Let's talk about some of the symptoms of child abuse, of sexual abuse. When we talk about children, we're talking about change in behavior, a noticeable fear of the person or a certain place. That may be a very big indicator that something is very wrong. Please, parents, do not ignore these symptoms. Do not think of it simply as a child acting out, or the child is having separation anxiety, or the child is spoiled or out of control. Pay attention. We can say unusual response from the child when asked if he or she has been touched, unreasonable fear of a physical exam. Now, that's a big indicator. When the child is just almost distraught at the thought of having a physical exam. Drawing that shows sexual acts, especially when you know that the child is not old enough to have kind of comprehended those things. They're pretty much drawing what they have been exposed to. Abrupt changes in their behavior, such as bedwetting or losing control of his or her bowels. That is an indication. Moms and dads, we need to pay attention. Grandmoms, aunts and uncles, and the like, teachers as well. Sudden awareness of genital and sexual acts and words, especially when you know that the child is too young. Attempting to get other children to perform sexual acts. We know that, you know, there is how can I say, there is, we talk about development, we talk about oral and anal development, but we're talking about something beyond that. When you see children acting out what they have been exposed to. So if your child discloses sexual abuse to you, please believe them, and please seek medical and psychological assistance for both you and the child. So those are some of the symptoms of rape. We can talk about the physical and the psychological effects of rape. Some of the common physical injuries from rape include pain and bruising, irritation and tenderness in their vaginal area, bleeding, anal bleeding, tears in their vaginal, in their rectal areas. If the victim was thrown to the ground, you may have some other injuries such as skin insults and contusions and things of that nature. The victim suffers intense emotional reactions immediately after rape, basically. They can be described as personal crises when the victim realizes the fear or relives the fear and the agony and the anxiety mixed with emotional numbness. For most rape victims, including myself, the reaction begins days or weeks after the rape, and then it tends to decrease after 2 to 6 months. However, disturbing emotional combinations with low self-respect and sexual dysfunction may last for a year or more, and sometimes even longer, and that is going to depend on whether that child or that person, whether it be child or adult, has dealt with what has just happened to them, because we're talking about something that has been very traumatic to them. So when we talk about not dealing with them, we're talking about suppressing your emotions. The function of depression is to block out the strong emotion and therefore escape the painful feelings for a short time, which can be psychological, very exhausting. I can say that for me, it was very, very exhausting, and so I'm kind of doing a little self-disclosure here. It is very, very self-exhausting because you're trying to pretend like something tragic did not happen to you, and just the emotion, the energy that it takes to do that can be very exhausting from day to day, because you're trying to erase a flashback, if you will, a clip, an event that happened so real, but you're trying to erase that from your memory, and just the energy that you have to exert to try to suppress and block out those emotions, the anger, the fear, the guilt, the blame, the shame, can be very exhausting. Other long-lasting traumatic reactions following rape can be hypervigilance, avoidance of certain thoughts, feelings, and situations that remind the victim of the abuse, and strong reactions to sudden mental images, which is what I just said. Avoidance behavior serves as a psychological defense against severe anxiety and tends to be long-lasting. Some researchers show that persons' normal work capacity may be disrupted for as long as 8 months after rape, because, like I said, you're trying to suppress this camera that's rolling in your head, and it's not working. After a while, it becomes definitely traumatic to one. Most of the common effects of rape is depression, which lasts for months. I can say I was depressed for months. you begin to have suicidal indignations and attempted suicide occurs. You begin to have sleep disturbances, and that is even escalated even the more if the sexual assault happened in your own bed, because you're still sleeping in that bed. Some examples of how their lifestyle change after rape is that they stop opening the door. If they're alone, they stop using the laundromat. They avoid going out after dark. They avoid social interactions, especially with men. So some of their behaviors begin to change. And basically you pretty much stop believing and trusting in people, which, again, is one of the consequences of rape. If you are talking about spousal rape, that lasts longer than stranger rape because it is perpetuated by a trusted individual whose trust is now damaged. We can talk about all kinds of things. Let's talk about some questions. Let's think. We talked about the consequences of rape. How can the psychological consequences of sexual abuse be treated? How about that? Let's see. The psychotherapeutic treatment of victims of sexual abuse is similar to the treatment of other kinds of PTSD, DS, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, which is a result of being raped. The treatment normally uses a three-phase model. First, you need to talk about the stabilizing the symptoms. This is the first phase of the treatment where you work on the relation of the confidence between the therapist and the patient. So you've got to have a working, trusting relationship. So basically, you've got to stabilize the symptoms. Then you need to go to the second phase after you've established rapport with your therapist. Remembering and mourning, the patient tells what happens and what this meant to them and how their life has changed and what that traumatic experience is like. You're going to, of course, be experiencing strong emotions as well as things that you may have suppressed may begin to come to surface. Then you go into the next phase, which would be integration, which is the event, the contact of your daily life and other things that you have stopped doing is now restored. And that, so you begin to go back to your daily life and begin to face those things that you have pretty much interrupted or that was interrupted, and you begin to restore those things. Now, everybody is not going to always be able to go through all the phases. Some people might pay more attention to giving to the first stage because that is the most traumatic and the most hard part is the start, which is what we're talking about today. We need to be able to start. We need to be able to begin somewhere. Take a leap of faith. I do believe I have a live raised hand. Not sure who, but if they don't have to identify themselves, but if they want to talk, I will see what happens. Let's hold on. I'm going to stop right where I'm at. Live caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Dr. Du. How are you, sister?
I am so far. I was so hoping that you called, especially on today.
I've been there. I've been on the air. I was actually on in the chat room, and no one was there. So I said, "Well, let me try my Skype because I'm at my office doing some work."
Okay.
And I said, "So I'm on Skype." Yeah, that's why you didn't recognize me.
Yes.
I have Skype. thought I'd try it and see how it really works, since other people call me. How are you doing, sis?
I'm doing fine.
Praise God.
Didn't know if you had like 2 minutes. Did you want to share?
Oh, you have covered. I'm sorry. When I went to Skype, it delayed me, so I missed some of what you were saying. But what I heard in the very beginning when I got on, you were really covering it in great detail. And you know, the one thing I just heard a moment ago that I want to just encourage you about. You said I'm taking a liberty to share part of my personal. That's okay. People that can't handle that, that's their problem. You know, you'll get the thick skin like God's given me, I believe, and maybe you already have it. But you know, it's a healing thing, and it's a blessing that God brought you through what He did to this place where you can share this in love as you're doing to reach out to people so they can know that you don't have to stay in shame. You don't have to stay in guilt. You don't have to continue to be embarrassed. You don't have to hide anymore. It's time to come out and to be free as our sister's set free. I'm free. And it's just wonderful. And, you know, you mentioned one other thing that I would comment on. You said that not many people report, and that's true. They claim the numbers 1 in 4 for women that are abused, and 1 in 6. So every fourth woman has some kind of a sexual assault or abuse, and 1 in 6, every sixth man that you see. And the thing about it, though, that is so remarkable is that only a third of the people in the world, or at least in America, really report what happens. So the incidences, yeah. I think the numbers are low, and I think we have an epidemic in our country, yeah, and in the world. And I am so glad that you're out doing what you're doing. Just be encouraged and keep sharing the truth, because somebody is going to be free. Someone's going to be set free.
Yeah.
That's all I want to share. Just want to give you encouragement and just glad you're out there doing it, and praise God for what you're doing.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So,
oh, this is Dr. Dew too. I can say who I am. I'm very much glad to be a part and working with this woman of God, who God has blessed and is continuing to bless and to anoint to do this work. This is so, so needed in our society, and I encourage others to step out by faith.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dew. I appreciate that. I appreciate you calling. It is definitely needed, and I decided I was going to take my time with this one, and I don't mind. I would like for you next week, if you can, to come back and join us and just share as we talk about this, because there are so many people who have been violated, and they are so ashamed, as I was talking earlier, you know, that they have not begin to heal because they have not, first of all, admitted that they need help, and that's where I was actually going to go. But I wanted to really just take my time with all of this. And so if you care to join me next week, that would be wonderful.
Sister, I would be more than happy, except I'll be traveling, and we can look at the following week. I'll be back in town. I would hate to commit because I'll be out of state, and I'm not sure just what I'll be doing next Monday morning as we'll be enjoying our grandkids. But the following week is Labor Day, so I don't know if you're going to be on Monday, Labor Day. But if you're on the 12th, I will be in town for a couple of weeks on Monday, and I'll be glad to join you. And, yes, take
That'll
your time.
Be
no hurry. Because there are people listening. A lot of what we found, people are just listening, and they may not say a word, but they're listening, and they're going to get it. And I speak now deliverance. I speak healing. I speak blessings and encouragement to those who don't have someone to talk to. And I would encourage, if you want to call my program and talk to me, fine. My wife and I, we minister in love. We're not here to condemn. We're not here to tear anybody down. We're here to build you up. That's what God gave us the assignment to do, and that's what we do.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dew. Certainly we'll do that. And thank you for calling.
God bless, dear heart.
God bless. Thank you for calling. That was Dr. Du, one of the great men of God and just an awesome man and such an encouragement to me. And he has a great program as well, Sex in the Bible, on Blog Talk Radio as well. So please tune in and listen to him sometime as he talks about that and he talks about that same subject. And so I want to thank everyone for listening. We definitely have run out of time here. But I want to say, in my closing remarks, we have all had challenges in our lives, but we do not have to be subject to someone else's hurt and their pain or their anger. We don't have to allow anyone to belittle us. We don't have to allow anyone to make you feel guilty or ashamed. It is possible to walk in freedom and deliverance from the scars of sexual abuse. Against all odds, you can walk in victory today. You too can overcome all odds against you, every obstacle that comes to try to block you and keep you bound. Don't be bound any longer. I am here to help you walk in total victory. So tune in weekly so you can begin to gain understanding of the physical and the emotional challenges you are facing for yourself and your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, your classmates, your coworkers. Together, we can learn powerful strategic weapons to combat the seemingly insurmountable obstacles that life can bring and begin the process of healing and forgiving. 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 My email address again is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Or you may Facebook me at facebook.com/Victory, capital A, capital O. Thank you for listening. Join me next time on August the 29th at 12:30 right here on Blog Talk Radio, and I will be opening up the lines for you to speak on the air as well as the chat room. Until next time, you're listening to Victory Against All Odds right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a blessed day and remember to walk in victory.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you. But you clothe yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
Thank you.